This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Well, Connie, this is Dr. Bob in the studio next to you, as you can tell, as always. Big events happening in Cincinnati this Friday. That's protests right. are being called against ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. A mysterious right-wing think tank that has come up with a lot of off-the-shelves, ready-to-wear, ready-to-order legislation that attacks working-class people. Let me move that away. A little feedback.
Yeah, and so it seems like ALEC is active in Ohio, and it's also active in many other states, like Arizona, where these extreme anti-immigration laws have come out of.
Yeah, there's at least 32 states that seem to be using legislation from this American Exchange Legislative Council to move the United States to the far right. If you look, there's a dozen or so large corporations, and these are multinational, generally publicly traded corporation with billions of dollars in asset, like Walmart, like Coca-Cola, like the Koch brothers. And their goal is to drive wages down. This is what the classical capitalist economy requires. David Ricardo, who is a classical capitalist economist, called it the iron law of wages. A good capitalist, Connie, will drive wages down so they can pay people subsistence. Yeah. Just enough to eat and have a place to live.
And sometimes not that much.
Well, they do, but he said the goal is subsistence worldwide.
They want people sick. They want people to survive well enough so they can work.
Exactly. So, unless there's a lot of population like in China and India, and then you can just replace
workers.
You
got to kill some of them off.
So, and that's what they talk about, subsistence labor. All the surplus, that is all the things that often people use to enjoy life, they want to extract that profit. So they do this under the notion of small government, but it's got nothing to do with small government.
It's got everything to do
with big corporations.
Yeah.
So do you got the details on when this rally's occurring?
Yeah, there's going to be a rally protesting ALEC in Cincinnati this Friday, April 29th at noon at Fountain Square. And there's a website where you can get information. It's protestalec.org.
And I think there's another one as well. Is it seeyouincincinnati.com?
Yep, see you in Cincinnati.
See you there, SEEYOU, in Cincinnati.com. Come and join us, the secretive American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, who thinks of themselves as a smart ALEC because they're secret. They're non-transparent. We're going to go there and we're going to out them.
And meanwhile, union organizers have been organizing en masse and training hundreds and possibly thousands of people to gather petition signatures to repeal Senate Bill 5.
Yeah, Senate Bill 5, that anti-legislative piece of work, which ALEC, by the way, has used as model legislation, is what they're trying to repeal. So ALEC very seldom crawls out of the sewer, but they'll be crawling out this Friday and Saturday in their convention in Cincinnati.
And that's Thursday and Friday, is that right?
They'll be plotting. They'll be, how can we steal working people's pensions? How can we destroy public unions? How can we oppress immigrants and keep them
and
in
women.
Fear.
Defund women's health care.
Yeah, the
making
whole
prisons
agenda.
into for-profit centers.
Oh,
privatizing
yes.
prisons.
So we can talk about each cell as a profit unit.
Ah, oh, that's pretty scary. Yeah. It's pretty scary that you know, these people really look at us, all of us listeners and people out there, as profit units. We're workers, or we're potential prisoners.
And Connie, you wouldn't have to feed her much. So they could make a lot of money off Connie in a prison cell. They could squish more people in. Me, on the other hand, I'm going to complain. I take up more space.
Oh, I'll complain. Anyway, another interesting activity that has happened last week was a tent city at OSU, where students were camping out most of the week, protesting things like Senate Bill 5 and other things that were related to the university. I think USAS, United Students Against Sweatshops, were protesting the university's use of sweatshop materials in their athletic gear. And there were actually, it sounded like there were a coalition of student groups protesting in a tent city. Unfortunately, there were tornado warnings last week, so I know that they did get broken up a little bit, but they did manage at the end of the week to take a march around campus and give a list of demands to President Gee. So that's an interesting activity that has happened recently, and just wanted to report on that.
United Students Against Sweatshops reports that they're sitting in and doing civil disobedience at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where a friend of Alec, Governor Walker, who's going after workers in Wisconsin, wants to essentially privatize one of the world's greatest institutions, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, one of the three so-called liberation zones from the new left. And they've got this new partnership, Connie, with private corporations and the public university, where the private corporations will be able to essentially make a lot of profit off the people's tax dollars.
Right. Yeah, all this stuff just really doesn't make sense from the people's perspective. You don't want to see, you know, you don't want to see your apparel being made in sweatshops abroad when that could provide work at home. And, you know, all these policies just don't make sense for middle class, working class, and poor people. So,
well, they've, you know, John Kasich is busy trying to convince people. He's got a 30% approval rating, the lowest of any new governor recorded. But John Kasich, using this philosophy of the American Legislative Exchange Council, is convinced that he's saving taxpayers money. Instead, he's costing the state more than 50,000 jobs. He's wrecking people's retirement. And essentially, to people that are well-educated, Ohio is already one of the leading exporters of people 18 to 44. They come here, they get degrees at Ohio State, Miami, Ohio U, these very good colleges, and then they leave the state, in part because they think the state is run by a bunch of backward yahoos. Then you get John Kasich, who's a backward yahoo, but, you know, he thinks he's cool. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, I was in a safe Republican district. I never really had to campaign. I only get 49% of the vote, and then he declares that 49% a mandate, and he goes after the unions. And this is a guy, again, whose dad was a postal worker. He is so in denial on his own background, and he's so infatuated with his own voice that he's willing to do anything to get rich. And that means dealing with the Koch brothers. That means pushing this reactionary legislation. And he wants to pretend he's a maverick, but really he's a bribe tool of wealthy people.
Well, it's looking pretty bleak in Ohio for young folks like me who have been educated in Ohio. And, you know, I myself am a young entrepreneur, I guess you could say. But yeah, the economy is very bleak. There are not a lot of opportunities here for young people. And
well, if you wanted to breed, we could give you some opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm definitely in fear for my life as a woman of childbearing age, considering whether I should even make an attempt as a diabetic, and there's all this anti-choice legislation that they're trying to push through that could really put a risk to my health. So it's very bleak for young people here. I love Ohio. I love the countryside and the city in Ohio. But really, it's becoming a more and more hostile environment for the citizens of Ohio.
I mean, think about this. When you're growing up, some people wanted to be a teacher. I mean, I originally wanted to be a gym teacher. I thought that'd be a great job.
Yeah.
Take some laps while I shoot some hoops here. But later, you know, a college professor, and I got to teach at a community college. But part of that, I mean, you don't make as much money as if you went into corporate exploitation of the planet.
Right.
But it's noble work, you know, you're helping enlighten people.
Yeah, my dad was a teacher.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, it's something you feel good about. But now it's like, you have no job security, let's lay them off. I mean, what John Kasich is trying to do is blame the teachers, the public school teachers, for what he created, and the people he kissed his ass to created, right?
Yeah.
They destroyed the tax base. They moved the jobs over to authoritarian regimes, communist China. There's no taxes coming in. They created massive disparity between the rich and the poor by trying to figure out how can we cut taxes on the wealthiest people in the country and shift the burden to the teachers in their pension fund. And then how can we turn around after we destroyed Cleveland, we destroyed Youngstown, right? It wasn't the workers in Youngstown, in Cleveland, in Akron, and Toledo who said, hey, why don't you take my jobs to communist China? Why don't you take our jobs to Hanoi? Why don't you allow our neighborhoods to rot and put most, that might be John Kasich on the phone. And
yeah, he's calling to complain.
John, or put most of our people in jail.
Yeah.
So they moved the jobs overseas, friends of John Kasich, people that fund John Kasich. Then they turn around and say, why aren't the schools working?
Yeah.
I mean, and what they want to do is build those prisons you're talking about, Connie. That's their solution. Create a prison industrial complex.
Right. You know, I think it's really not profitable in the long run to put most of your population in jail when they could be, you know, working, producing things at home. It's really only profitable for the top 0.5% of people who are selling products to, you know, consumers. My dad was a teacher, and he taught low-income students for decades. And luckily, he retired you know, in time to be able to keep his retirement, and he had a good life. He provided well for me, and I was able to get a good education and become a lawyer, even though I came from a pretty low-income background, and I'm very thankful for that, and I think that, you know, teachers, educators have a tough job. It's something that, you know, it takes a good person to be a good teacher, and I really would like to see benefits continue for this, you know, middle class profession of educators.
And again, John Kasich doesn't want it to be a middle class profession. He wants to raid the pensions. He wants people to be laid off.
And besides that,
not based on seniority, he doesn't want them to be able to collectively bargain for a contract with the administrators.
Well, besides that, I mean, if you don't pay the teachers and pay back the teachers for the work that they're doing, less people are going to want to become teachers. They're not going to work as hard when they are, and children are going to become less educated. That really is going to have a huge impact on the generations to come as they're less and less educated. You know, it's really going to be doing away with public education, and, you know, until I went to high school, I had public education. I was lucky to have good public education, and I was well educated. And it's a real shame that other students are, other Ohioans are not going to have the same good public education that I grew up with.
Well, let's hold that thought.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
Well, Kanye, I think you're right that a lot of this is about destroying the public school system. And there's a lot of reasons why a group like ALEC has been plotting since the 1970s with people like Henry Hyde, Representative Hyde, who was a right-to-lifer, and people like Richard Viguerie, the far right-wing mailing guru, and people from the Reagan campaign, because fundamentally they want to turn back every socially moderate and liberal movement and cause that has occurred since World War II.
These are things that I really took for granted growing up. Growing up with good public schools, you know, it was just taken for granted that you know, growing up, you wouldn't have to be destitute. I came from a poor family, but I had a good education. I had opportunities, and I feel like a lot of these changes now are really going to have the effect of making middle class people poor and making poor people destitute.
Absolutely. And what they want is they don't want public schools. What they want is charter schools, and they want is religious, particularly fundamentalist-based schools that will accept Kasich and before him Reagan's BS as an act of faith. They want to dumb down society.
God wants you to be poor. Oh, guess, newsflash, God wants you to be poor. God wants you to suffer. What else? God wants you to be uneducated and stupid. What else are they going
to
say that
God
wants?
God wants you to work for a large multinational corporation.
God wants you to be, you know, to work... work hard and never get anywhere and work for rich guys, and God wants these guys to be rich, you know, and that's the way things are.
Yeah, it's the new feudalism. It's like, hi, this is the way God wants it. 90% of what you make, you give to me. I'm the landlord. I'm the duke. I'm the earl. I'm the prince. I am the ruler, and you get to keep 10% for yourself. That's the same stuff you had in medieval time.
Wow, I thought tithing was bad. I think the opposite of tithing is worse.
So, you know, and the churches want their cut. They want their 10% because that's how things work. But really, they want to destroy the public school system because a lot of the public school system works. They point to the few that don't work in the inner city, but they don't point to the schools in Upper Arlington, Worthington, Westerville, Bexley, very good public school systems.
Mm-hmm.
But and here's part of the problem, is the more you think and the better your education, the more likely you are to end up being socially liberal. And that means entertaining more than one point of view.
Mm-hmm.
What they want is a monotheistic religion and a culture that only sees one point of view. And then they want to put someone in front of you, a bloviator, you know, a pundit like John Kasich, and they want to pretend that he's deep. But the reality is John Kasich doesn't have much of an education. He's not a very bright guy. His idea of debate is to call people idiots.
Great.
He called me an idiot when I ran against him in 1992.
Oh, does that work? I'll just start calling people idiots.
Annalise, it's a debatable question, but he calls police officers that stop him idiots. It's this name-calling, ad hominem attack that comes out of Fox News. And they want to sit up there and pontificate like the new popes of profit and extract wealth from everyone else. They want to come into Ohio. They have no allegiance whatsoever to this state and this country. They want to strip mine it figuratively, literally. They want to frack and pour toxic water into the soil, extract energy. They want to pollute the rivers. They want to go in and take the pensions of the working people, rip them off, and then tell you they're doing you a favor, and they're elite, and they're special.
So, unfortunately, the right and the conservatives are very powerful. They have tons of money. They get a lot of that money by exploiting people. And
by doing the bidding of the Koch brothers.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
$47 billion worth of wealth those two brothers have.
So I think that it's really important to, you know, build funding on the left, build wealth on the left, build power in organizations. And, you know, the talk about tithing, that people may give 10% to their church that may be a conservative church or end up, you know, doing faith-based initiatives or something like that. I'd really like to encourage listeners and people in general to think about how, you know, how they can use the money and the wealth that they do have to support leftist causes. I know that it's very tough for people who don't have a lot of money just to get by and to afford to pay your bills, but I would definitely encourage people to take a little bit of their extra surplus and support causes that they believe in, support local organizations like the Third Hand Bike Co-op and the Sporeprint Info Shop, the Free Press, the Green Party. There are many good, you know, good causes that that can build power on the left, you know, supporting your unions, you know, many other causes and organizations.
And also you have capital if you don't have any real money. You have capital in your body and taking up space. And a real good place to come and take up space would be in Cincinnati.
Oh, I thought you were saying, I thought you were saying people should donate plasma for the cause.
I think
so. Taking up space, but that's absolutely true.
They should showing up, get plasma from the people on Alec.
donate your plasma.
Donate the blood of the Alec.
But also, take up space. Show up to protests. Come to Alec. And another event of interest that I wanted to let our listeners know about: June 11th is a World Naked Bike Ride in Columbus. And that will be starting and ending at the Third Hand Bike Co-op on at 174 East Fifth Avenue, starting at 11:30 p.m. And basically, the organizers of the World Naked Bike Ride are trying to create a safe space for riders to ride with
naked,
as much or as little clothing as they want. There's no pressure to be completely naked or, you know, to show any particular body parts. But it is the purpose, I think, is about enjoying your body and the freedom that you have just in being human. And riding a bike, you know, is a really liberating experience. And riding a bike naked, feeling the wind on your skin, I think is a great, really liberating experience. And I would just encourage people to come out and, you know, join in their community on June 11th.
And Connie will be wearing her chaps.
Yeah, I mean, I probably won't be, like, naked in case I have to be the designated person who talks to the cops. Although last year, we didn't have a problem. People were cheering us on all through the streets, and wherever we went, people were coming out of the bars to cheer us on. And I think there were some police officers who saw us who were quite surprised and astounded to see a group of 50 people riding their bikes naked at midnight. And it was just a great time. There was no trouble. You know, people were very respectful and well-behaved. And I think it's very important to, you know, that kind of thing really supports, you know, it supports a woman's right to choose what she does with her body, as long as you're creating a safe space where people are not objectified. It was both, you know, it was women and men and people of all genders who were participating in the ride.
And also the Free Press is having its annual awards dinner, clothing optional, in honor of the Native American Indian Center. So wear your favorite indigenous people's outfit, or wear as much clothes as you want.
Yeah, that's going to be this Saturday, April 30th at 5 o'clock. And The NACO, the Native American Indian Center of Central Ohio, is at 67 Innis Avenue. It's the Free Press Awards Dinner, and admission is $15, $25 for a couple, or $10 low income, and you pay at the door. In the past, the food has been provided by the Native American Indian Center, and it's been a great experience. We're honoring Rob Ebright as the Free Press Award winner this year.
And Rob, has Rob ever been on the Naked Bike Ride?
I don't know. I think, you know, he's probably, I bet he rides his bike naked even when he's not in the World Naked Bike Ride, knowing Rob.
So, yeah. But he was instrumental in creating institutions in this town, was he not?
Yeah, he helped create in the Spore, and so that's the Spore Print Info Shop next to the Third Hand Bike Co-op, and also, you know, he helps out with this radio station. He's the president of the Neighborhood Network, and he has done a great job keeping that going and making the radio station a success.
And he's also worked with Free Geek as well.
Free Geek, yep.
Recycling the things we cast off and creating computers for people who could not afford them otherwise.
Yeah. Rob has a great heart, and he's a great great on computers, and he builds computers and runs that program for low-income people and teaches people about computers, does a lot of stuff with open source. So we're very happy to be honoring him this Saturday at the Free Press Awards Dinner.
All right, the annual Free Press Awards Dinner. And usually we always have it around May Day. Remember, most of the world celebrates May Day as Labor Day. And some of you may recall from history, May Day started in the United States with the famed Haymarket Martyrs in the 19th century in Chicago, where when there was a rally for workers' rights and someone threw a bomb, although now it looks like that was done by a police agent, they arbitrarily grabbed a half dozen working people, including the printer who printed the material.
Oh, geez.
Who wasn't at the rally, and the publisher of the newspaper.
Watch out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's really a way to target people politically. It's like, and if you participate at all, you're aiding and abetting or something, you know? Geez, watch out.
And they hung him.
Oh.
What was this rally that the corporations feared so much that the holiday of May Day was created? They were arguing for the 8-hour day.
Wow. Yeah, that's another thing I take for granted. I'm really happy there's an 8-hour work day. I sure don't want to be working from sun up to sundown every day.
Well, that's the traditional way. And if you think even prior to the 1930s and Roosevelt and the Wagner Act, if you worked in the steel industry, it was 12 on and 12 off.
Mm.
They didn't want three shifts. It would cost them more to pay worker.
Yeah.
So you worked for 12 hours, and then the next shift came on. And then every 2 weeks, they would swap you, so you had to work one day 24 hours straight.
Oh, yikes. Well, now...
Because the workers were whiners, and if they really wanted their money, John Kasich would say, let them work for it 24
suck it
hours
up.
Day.
You guys better suck it up.
And child labor. If you can't chain a 5-year-old kid to the machine...
Yeah, kids are so lazy. what's up with those kids not working? Well, you know, I'm very happy. You know, I know that they fought so that we could have 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, and 8 hours of doing whatever we want.
Right, the bumper sticker says it all, you know. Support the unions, the people who brought you the weekend.
Thank goodness, yeah. How can you really, you know, say too much about that? That's, I bet even John Kasich likes the weekend.
Well, John Kasich liked the Dead, but they wouldn't let him backstage. One of my favorite stories, when John Kasich turned away by the Grateful Dead in Washington, and he vowed they'd never play Washington, D.C. again because they had slighted the almighty John Kasich.
Well, I guess everybody wants to be a hippie.
Even John, even though he started out by being good friends with Richard Nixon, a freshly scrubbed youth, in 1972.
Yeah.
And Kasich has progressed over the years from ultra-conservative to neo-fascist, so he has you know, evolved, well, devolved. It looks like it's time to wrap up here. Remember, come to Cincinnati on Friday, the 28th, 12 noon. Come to the Free Press dinner on Saturday.
This has been Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.